You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
The Around the NFL Podcast.
Hey, Dan, remember that Tytoons joke you made? Fucking idiot.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. Dan Hansis, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. You know, money goes on Pat McAfee show yesterday, and he's just like, remember when Brian Williams was the anchor of NBC and then he told that story about taking fire in Iraq,
an untrue story? Yes.
And he's like, you know, money, listen, he's a raconteur, he knows how to tell a story, but the facts were all over the place. All over the place. Ricky, do you have anything from that? Do you have anything?
Yeah, I got two that really stood out. So this first one, we start with a nice compliment, right? So here we go.
Okay.
Look at Dan Zeus's rankings and make your opinions on stuff. How often do you lean on Dan Zeus's power rankings?
Well, look, I mean, Dan Zeus, again, you said it. Unfortunately, we've tried to keep it a secret, but you blew the top off it. You know, his scribe is a stone tablet and his pen is a lightning bolt.
Oh, that was good.
That was really nice.
That was beautiful.
That was really nice. Yeah. And then McAfee followed it up with, okay, like, does Dan get a lot of SHIT in the comments?
Yeah.
Like, because what you do. And so this is what Money had to say.
But, yeah, he gets absolutely wrecked. And, look, why does the commissioner make $38 million a year? Because he suffers the slings and arrows for the 32 owners. Why does Dan make probably somewhere between 70 and 85 grand? Slings and arrows. That was mean. That was really mean.
Accurate.
Money. He's an ass. I like him, though. But anyway, no, he went on this long story about, like, how he came up with the Zeuser nickname because it bothers my dad or something. I was just like, Money, where are we coming from with this stuff?
He fabricated
that. You know what happened to Brian Williams? He had to go to MSNBC. He lost the chair to Holt.
Yeah. Like, well, so have you talked to Money?
Not yet.
So this is just being
okay. He's a storyteller. The story's, you know, sometimes true. Don't need to be true.
Yes. Anyway, that was cool though. McAfee's a fan, and that'd be great to get McAfee on this show. I bet he would be awesome. All right. Now, we got a big show coming up. This is the Week 10 preview. It's also, by the way, Veterans Day. And that's important. And I know you boys, as proud Americans, like, you know ball. Like, you know, for instance, the strong safety of the Houston Texans is
Justin Reed?
No, he's the free safety, Eric Murray. I knew that, didn't have to look it up. But do you know, little quiz here, boys, the six major branches of the U.S. military. Ricky, hit me up with little dings. Both boys, let's see what you got.
Oh, we've got the Marines.
Boom, that's one.
You want to go, Greg?
You go for it.
You got the Army.
Got it.
You've got the Coast Guard.
Got it.
You've got
that's
the
a toughie.
You've got the Air Force.
Got it.
You've got the Navy.
Got it.
And I believe you've got the Merchant Marines.
Okay, no.
Okay.
Nope. But that's great. Greg?
I had all those five. What's after that?
There's a new one that's a little controversial.
Oh, is it Space Force? Yeah, the Space Force.
You got it.
The Galactic Individuals, right.
Came in December 2019. A little bit controversial. Some people saw it as a vanity branch of a certain
I think it's you
deposed
could, you
leader.
Could look at it that way, potentially.
Some people
but
think
those are the branches.
Calling like a free or strong safety, that's controversial in these days. Is there really any difference? I don't know.
Go to ourlads.com and you tell me.
It's nice to see you kind of making nice with the armed forces after the Marines dropped our television show sponsorship, which was really they loved watching us. We got a lot of great feedback.
Well, it's stunning.
And then suddenly it was gone.
They had been our I think they were as a group our biggest fans during the the lockdown and the corona time. Huddled up watching everything that we do.
And yes, I don't hold it against the Marines. I don't think it's ever a good idea to hold things against the Marines. I do have both my grandfathers were active in the military in World War II and the Korean War. And my brother-in-law, Staff Sergeant Tanner Bates, with the Old Guard at Fort Myers, also did multiple tours of duty in Afghanistan. That dude is a hero. And I love Tanner. Thank you for listening, but thank you for your service.
My grandparents as well in World War II, and Tanner has other talents. We hung out with him during Super Bowl week, and I would just say he's not – you can't put him in a military box alone.
Tanner and my brother, still to this day, the only Super Bowl guests that when we finished the Super Bowl taping at, 3 a.m. and got back from the stadium, they were still ripping it at the TGI Fridays in the Minneapolis Hilton where we were staying.
They were set apart as guests. For multiple reasons.
All right, let's get into the business of today. We're going to go through all the Week 10 action tonight. The old Zeuser, a nickname I came up with, will be recapping Thursday Night Football, Ravens at Dolphins. Check that out. I got a special guest that will be joining us that is connected to the Miami football team. We have the Bears, Bengals, Giants, and Texans on bye. We're going to get into all of it, but let's start with the big news that came down this morning, Thursday morning. Cam Newton's back with the Panthers. I mean, this is wild.
Yeah.
He has agreed to a deal with Carolina, and the deal, pending a physical at this time, is worth up to $10 million for the remainder of the season, including $4.5 million guaranteed and a $1.5 million roster bonus. And listen, this is the face of the Panthers, the most famous Panther ever, the former number one overall pick, the former MVP, took him to a Super Bowl, should have dove on that fumble, but we're not going to dwell on that. But ultimately, Greg, isn't this...
Been dwelling on it for 6 years.
I know, but come on, you got to get on the ground. Isn't this ultimately, Greg, and maybe this is the right move, Sam Darnold's hurt with a busted shoulder, kind of an indictment of the entire situation in Carolina a little bit. How are we back to Cam... just 2 years after you kind of kissed them off and said, we'll be better without you.
Because they've made terrible decisions. I don't think Teddy was a truly terrible decision.
I don't think so either.
But they moved off him. Giving him a second year guaranteed was not a great idea, especially if you were going to get off him to downgrade significantly to Sam Darnold. Because it's funny, if you put 2020 Teddy with this team and this defense, they're probably like a fringe playoff team. Like, that would have been enough. And I think they look at this defense that they have now, which is really good, and they think, let's try to win games. I've seen people say, what's the point of signing Cam Newton now? Like, you're not going anywhere. He's just going to maybe hurt your draft pick. It's like, if I'm going to be involved in a sporting activity, how about we try to win the games that we're playing? He's clearly an upgrade on Sam Darnold. I've only seen P.J. Walker start one game. He's very likely a big upgrade on P.J. Walker. So let Walker start this week. See what happens. It's fun. It maybe is worth it even for the social media content alone. I mean, they're going big on that.
It feels driven by that to some degree. I mean, this team is kind of freaking me out at this point because this was a playoff team in my book. I thought they would be. I mean, it was going a little bit out
chances,
on a limb.
I think.
Yes, but I think from a larger...
Over Walker and Darnold, I really think so.
That's okay. The micro, but from a macro angle, this is a front office / coaching staff / ownership group that gave the Jets a 2021 sixth round pick and a second and fourth in 2022 for Darnold, who was a total risk to begin with. And one of the biggest moves that David Tepper, a powerful owner, made when he showed up was basically to say, we are moving on from Cam Newton. And it's just super odd that he's back in the building.
And a little bit awkward, you'd think, for Cam, too. But at the same time, Cam couldn't find a job. So Cam said, I'll go
there.
Back.
But
yeah, but also, like, these are the same people that kicked you out the door. Tepper wasn't the owner when Cam was a star there. Rule wasn't the coach. And they said, we are moving on to a new era of Panthers football. You're not good enough anymore. We're going to find Teddy Bridgewater. He'll be better than you. Oh, no, no. We're going to find Sam Darnold. He'll be better than you. We're going to try to trade for Matthew Stafford. He'd be better than – and all that stuff has fallen through. And now you got Cam. So it's still a Band-Aid, though. Let's look at it. Let's be honest.
Of course.
They are going to go all out next year, again, looking for a quarterback. And I think they're going to either – we don't know anything about the draft at this stage, especially this room. But, like, this is not supposed to be a great quarterback draft class. But I would be stunned if the Panthers don't make a hardcore move for either Deshaun Watson or somebody else, because I think this has become an embarrassing situation for the organization.
Absolutely.
And
you have to look at what players they passed on in the draft at the quarterback position.
They supposedly loved Mac Jones. 8 games, though, and it'll be 7, I guess, that Cam started. Like, that's a long time. You're not promised anything in this world. They're looking for a 7 seed. They're looking to have some fun. I think Cam Newton fits pretty well into what Matt Rhule does, getting rid of the ball quickly. It's going to be a lot of short stuff. Use his athleticism. I thought he looked better, and the reports were better, for what it's worth, this offseason and in the preseason than he did a year ago. I think Bill Belichick absolutely gave him a big endorsement behind the scenes to Matt Rhule, and I think that probably made some difference in Matt Rhule. Who
he got vaccinated, so that helped too.
Oh, yeah, that was good. Let's hear from Rhule real quick on why they made this move.
My job is to try to win right now. Our fans aren't paying money to watch us try to win in 2 years. That being said, you're also trying to build a Super Bowl caliber team. So it's this balancing act of doing what's right long-term while also trying to win at the same time. And many times those are the same thing.
So that's what he said. We're trying to get better this year, but everybody knows that Cam is not their quarterback of the future. Unless, which would be really funny, if he plays lights, he gets in the lineup next week or whatever, plays lights out, and then they give him an extension. That would be amazing.
Don't do that.
All right. We're going to get to the Panthers a little bit later. They're playing the Cards this week. The 8-1 Cardinals, best team in football. But let's start with the primetime games. The Kansas City Chiefs at Las Vegas Raiders, Sunday Night Football at Allegiant Stadium in Vegas. And, you know, this feels like another test. I like the Chiefs, they're always in prime time, or they got Tony Romo involved, or, you know, everything that they're trying to figure out is happening in front of the world, it seems like. And now here's another big test, Mark. This is not an easy game. Vegas plays well at home. They've had success in prime time this season against other good teams. And the Chiefs, very much still, even with their defense being better lately, are trying to figure things out. And it's tough to do in the middle of November.
Yeah, I kind of just feel like we're never going to come to grips with what the Chiefs are this season. And I have become, on the flip side, just fascinated with the journey of Derek Carr, someone that highly annoyed me for most of his career. I've just never been into the experience the way that you have, Dan. But if they can prevent the typical Raiders swoon with Bisaccia's bump, then,
don't say it like that.
Oh, well,
that's disrespectful. I mean, it's the Bisaccia bump.
Okay. Well, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't trying to be disrespectful.
Well, you said the Bisaccia bump.
Well, that's how I speak. That's just how I speak. But I think if you're in Kansas City, though, I mean, part of it was it wasn't just Patrick Mahomes. It's the defense was such a mess. In the last couple of games, like especially last week, I thought you're getting pass rush. You're getting pressure on the quarterback, and they've improved a little bit on that side of the ball, and that helps. I see them as an average, middle-of-the-road team. They get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. They've said he's looked great in practice. I think that matters a lot for them to get him back.
Well, will they use him, though? Like, will they take advantage of what they do best, which at this point is run blocking? Like, it's so funny that we spent the whole offseason talking about their offensive line. Like, can they solve it? And that's all they were focused on. Don't worry about anything else. Let's just worry about the offensive line. The offensive line looks great. Like, Creed Humphrey is one of the best draft picks in the league.
I told you guys
that. They're all run blocking well. Orlando Brown, other than that one game against Myles Garrett, has been fine. And it's a big mashing group, and yet they don't really use them that way. Like, will Andy Reid actually run at the Raiders? Because that is, to me, how you attack the Raiders.
Let me ask you, like,
it's weird.
The one person that's received zero critique during this Kansas City swoon autumn is Andy Reid. Do you think that Andy Reid should get a little bit more Reid heat for what's happened?
Both of them, you know.
Sure, because they've been stubborn, and they just haven't been able to figure it out. I mean, maybe it's just their players aren't playing as well. You know what worried me about last week's game was when Reid talked about the last drive, the last throw, really, from Mahomes, and he was like, that was a vintage throw and drive from Kelce, Mahomes, and Tyreek Hill. I was like, who are we talking about that you need to be saying it's a vintage drive? This guy's 25 and is one of the greatest players in like young players in NFL history, and we're having to say we're getting vintage drive. Teams change, though, all the time. They were like a top five team in terms of yards per play in the first month, and they've been almost at the bottom in the last month. So they could change again.
It is stunning that Patrick Mahomes is now at the point where he's having to answer questions about his playing style and if he's still going to take shots downfield and be the guy he was.
I don't think we know who they are because they've been so different even within this season.
I think it's the biggest surprise of the year.
And, absolutely.
The Chiefs having so much trouble moving the ball and being explosive. On the Raiders side of things, so, you know, they're coming off a loss against the Giants. Listen, the Gruden thing was one situation. The Henry Ruggs tragedy, that was a whole other thing that was dropped in the lap of this team. And going on the road to face the Giants, I kind of just say, okay, let's see where they're at now. They're back home. They have DeSean Jackson on the team. I like this quote, by the way, after DeSean Jackson got unhappy in L.A. It's really not about myself at this point. I'm not asking to get the ball 100 times. I'm not asking to play 100%. Whatever the role is that fits, just let me play it to the best of my ability. So the Raiders have Jackson in this Ruggs position as their downfield threat. We'll see if that makes a difference. I like that Darren Waller was back in the mix in a more profound way against the Giants. It was a disappointing game for their offense, but I thought they've gotten away from Waller strangely this year. Like, his first game of the season, they targeted him 19 times, which was extreme, that crazy win over Baltimore.
I thought it was fitting, totally appropriate.
I mean, yeah. And then you're thinking, this guy's going to break every record for tight ends, and he's kind of been off the radar for them, but he wasn't on Sunday. 11 targets, 7 for 92 against the Giants. Keep Waller involved. He's your best offensive player.
They've dinked and dunked the last 2 weeks out of nowhere. Carr under 6 average depth of target after he was bombs away the whole year. So I hope that's not for good. They did score 35 a game in 2 games against the Chiefs last year. I kind of like the Raiders in this game if I had to take one.
So do I.
Their offensive line, I thought, played a little better. But the Ruggs thing is hard to talk about, but it's so significant. Not just because, you know, this guy's life is forever changed, and the woman that he killed is forever changed. But it's like he's going to get his. Like, he's going to jail. Like, his life, as he thought it was, is over. And all these people on the team know that, and they're going to play through that. But just from, like, what he meant to them on the field, he was really significant. He was exactly what they wanted him to be this year.
Right.
He was playing great. He was close to prime DeSean Jackson, which was, like, what they hoped for out of him. I think that's lost a little because you can't replace that speed. Brian Edwards was a little bit of a mess trying to go into that role last week, and that part of the equation I think is significant, that you're not replacing him either as a player, and that does change who they are.
All right, let's move on to Monday Night Football. The Los Angeles Rams coming off that humbling loss to the Gravers.
That's their name.
Yeah. And
it's great branding.
Yeah. Head to Santa Clara. Great news. Anybody that wants to get a W, head to the San Francisco 49ers home stadium to face the 49ers. This is the Niners' last stand. And for the Shanahan's out, the Kyle heads out there, the Shanahan heads, the
Shanahan stands.
Shanahan stands, nice.
That's a Mina Kimes.
Oh, really? Okay. I mean, a good one.
Good job.
Mark, for the Shanahan stands out there, this is a big one, because if the Rams come into your building and embarrass you and drop you to 3-6, and you look as bad as you did last week when Arizona played its backups and beat you in your building, you're going to hear – I'm not saying he's on the hot seat, Kyle Shanahan, but it starts to like exit the realm of impossible to me if this thing really takes a turn, and that could happen in primetime on Monday night.
I'm with you. I don't know what hot seat would mean, except I think that the shine –
he could be fired.
I don't think there's any scenario.
Look what happened before Kyle Shanahan was there. They had a series of one-year coaches who totally failed. I think he's safe, but I would say that we are now at a point where like the think pieces on Kyle Shanahan have turned into ripe and open critique of a number of things they've done. I think if you look at the DeForest Buckner trade, that didn't really work out. They went and got Javon Kinlaw, who had a knee issues coming into the league and is out with knee injuries right now. Like, who are the leaders on this team? Like, who is holding anyone accountable? And we don't have an eye in on some of that stuff, but I'm just looking around the Niners roster and wondering what that's about. And I think it starts also, and it's sometimes just this simple, you had a master plan at quarterback. It is mid-November, and it looks like no plan. It just looks like there's an absence of a plan. And I get that they've been real about wanting to just use Jimmy G as long as they can. But I don't know what that tells the rest of your team either. I think that they're just a discombobulated mess, and they're getting a Rams team that was totally out-muscled, out-physicaled, and beaten up by the Titans last week. A Titans team that had like under 200 yards on offense. It wasn't so much the Rams' defense, but that was, I wonder if you're the Rams, because you can afford a loss here and there, a wake-up call to some degree, and it's not going to happen 2 weeks in a row.
I thought you were about to lock it up there.
There you go, Marky. Am I allowed to lock it up?
You're loud.
There's a lot of games that are not lucky this week.
It's well within.
Why I'm locking up the Rams?
Wow, the Shanistan.
Wait, so you weren't until I asked you? That was good.
Well, I like that one because the other thing is the Niners have lost 11 of 12 home games.
Well,
come
it
on,
all changes
people.
On Monday night because I'm going to – no, I'm not going to. But that is notable. That you want to talk about the most shocking things, the Kansas City Chiefs offense being earthbound. Sessler locking up against Shanahan on the road on Monday night in November. I never thought I'd see the day.
You have to turn evil sometimes. You and I are atop the lock standing.
We're doing great.
Stand.
Me and you are having a great season.
You've got to get sinister.
You're not alone either.
Oh.
Oh, yeah? Wait.
Hello, heroes. It's Phil again this week, and we are going to set the Wesley Brothers lock situation straight. It goes like this. Nick sends out a group text to the brothers, and we throw out suggestions, and then Nick pretty much does whatever the hell he wants after that. We haven't used one of Eddie's locks all season. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there is an Eddie Westling. Lots of times I don't even know who we're going to lock until I listen to the pod. That being said, Nick agreed with me this week, and we are locking the Rams over the 49ers. They won't lose two in a row. Shout out to Phil from Australia, who sent the swag and letter to Ricky. Classy move from down under. Until next time, heed the call.
Nice. Yes. Nice with the heed the call.
I'm in good company.
I like the pick. I do think that you can make the case, at least, that this is like the last thing Kyle Shanahan has, which is a little bit of a mastery over Sean McVay. They've killed him the last 2 years. They've won four straight.
Oh, that's fair point.
And they've pushed him around. I think they've pushed him around.
Pre-Matthew Stafford, but fair enough.
Right. But they've partly done it because they're so big up front. And you ask, like, where are the leaders on this team for San Francisco? I think it's supposed to be on defense. And that's gotten lost in the shuffle. They're mediocre on defense right now. Fred Warner, big-time player, not having a great year. Nick Bosa should be one of their leaders. Good, but not great year. Eric Armstead, one of the highest-paid players on the team. They're so banged up at cornerback that's where you just think the Rams are just going to have so many mismatches and this is the time to beat them. But when I've watched these two teams play in the past, it's kind of been like the big, tough physical team against a lighter weight offensive line in the Rams, and sometimes that's worked out pretty well for the 49ers, like it did for the Titans.
Jordan Rodriguez.
I was
going to
say,
Athletic.
This is spicy. Mention this.
She just tweeted that, I will say, after a couple conversations today, I'm getting a strong sense that the Rams are very much in play for OBJ. Nothing certain yet, obviously, but they're in this thing.
There's another little nugget to that. She asked Sean McVay about OBJ, and she tweeted that she said that he had the biggest grin when responding, and he basically said, I'm focused on the Niners. Les, as in Les Snead, the GM, is always doing work behind the scenes. So Von Miller might not be their final move.
Like, here's what I've learned from the OBJ sweepstakes, that he doesn't care who he talks to. I mean, whoever their representative is, will talk to everyone. It's the spray method. It's like on Contra when you've got the spray machine gun.
Sure,
there's about 15 different reporters all saying a ton of different teams. And here's the other part that I'm it's a prediction, but he's not getting good money. No one's offering him a good contract. That's why he's still a free agent 3 days into it. Like, if he got an offer that he wanted, he would have taken it two days ago.
If you're him, though, versus you're hearing the Saints, you're going to go to the Saints for the rest of the season. Like, this kind of fits. That's all I'd say.
That would be so beautiful. That would be so beautiful if he barked his way out of Cleveland because he didn't want to play for Baker, and then he plays for Trevor Siemian.
Exactly.
Taysom Hill. That's not happening. He's going to play somewhere with a big-time quarterback.
I might go have a talk with him if he winds up with the Rams 10 feet from our workplace.
All right, Greg, I'll indulge your hyperbole. You're saying that the Niners finished 3-14 this year with losses to Jacksonville and Houston. Like, Kyle Shanahan is A-okay.
I think he would stay safe just knowing the history of Jed York, their owner, how much he buys into Kyle Shanahan.
Got it.
Maybe John Lynch, like maybe things could change or they take away certain power. I think he is in it to win it and would give him one more.
How about this? What if, let's say Trey Lance a week from now is the start of the rest of the season and he's a disaster and they go 3-13 and you've given up everything to get him.
This is like the worst possible scenario, but even then I think they've got a chance.
They're not going 3-14, right. But that Trey Lance now is the only thing that's keeping his job security, and that's gives him a year, I think.
Jimmy's played his best two games of the season in a row, and I think that's what's complicated benching him. But I think if they lost this game, that would be the time.
It shouldn't even be too complicated.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Let's take a break and then get to the draft.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, here we go. It's the draft. And by the way, we mentioned the lock standings, Greggy. Mark and Dan atop the standings at 7-2. Mm-hmm. The Wessling brothers at 6-3. The listeners 5-4. Greggy at 3-6, hurting. Ricky sacrificed herself, fell on the old grenade.
Nice move.
Locked up the Panthers last week. Lock-off win for the Zeuser. She falls to 2-6. She wasn't allowed to play 1 week because Greg was... The patriarchy, that
I know, but if you look at their two records, that seems like it might have been a next level move by Greg because she could have been tied with him had she won that week.
My locks right now are like that season for the Cowboys after they won back to back titles, and then they got the White House, which they called it was basically some house they partied in and did a lot of drugs, and they called it the White House, and
that's what's happening to you.
I guess. I'm just saying some championships to dirt.
It's a good thing there's no drug testing. All right, let's get to the draft. Greg, you have the first pick. And I could jump you one last time this season. I'm not doing it here, though. Just letting you know I can. I have that ability.
And I could take...
Kind of drapes over everything Greg does, that power.
And I could take... the Browns, Patriots.
I would welcome you too. You're more than.
But I'm not going to. I want Seahawks, Packers. I want the Narrative Bowl. I want Aaron Rodgers returning from the COVID list. Everyone's assuming that he is. He can't get eligible until Saturday, so we won't know for sure. But I want Aaron Rodgers perhaps one last time in this really underrated NFC rivalry of the last decade. One of the defining ones. They've had some classic games. It's like the two maybe best quarterbacks in the NFC along with Breeze over the last decade. Russ is returning. Rodgers is back. Maybe they're just going to trade teams in the offseason. Like Rodgers for Wilson, who says no? I would do it from both sides. If Russell Wilson made it.
Oh, the Packers would do it in a second.
Right. I guess the Seahawks only would if Russell Wilson was making their lives so uncomfortable and saying, remember, like, he won't return.
Mark, do you remember when we were getting absolutely destroyed this summer for even insinuating that Aaron Rodgers might be a little bit of a pain in the ass?
Right. Because if it's not that, it's we're getting killed for something else. But that was rich.
I'm not saying that we should take a victory lap for that, but I'm just saying. Everyone now acting surprised that he's a little bit of a pain in the ass.
I think we have a good read on people, Dan, in general. And in that case, we were, you know, targets locked
and
on.
Yet,
that was not a victory lap, but, you know, it
I
should be
you.
Noted.
But don't you think, like, Russell Wilson is so mad right now that he is, like, the B or C story of this game? He has been chronicling his recovery
best.
From injury day by day. They
favorite.
Set it up at a way. It was so easy to see that he was going to be out from like 8 to 10 weeks. They have used the word miraculous repeatedly to talk about his recovery. He's been like doing if the Seahawks even wanted to like raise any question of whether he was playing this week, he didn't allow it because like he had videos on from like the room where he gets cleared. And I love that. And I love the fact that the Packers have owned the Seahawks in this rivalry in Lambeau. Obviously, you remember that NFC Championship game, which is one of the most painful Packers losses of all time. But in general, the Packers have been better here and they've been very resourceful. To me, this is just like a classic like Week 10 regular season game. You're
I'm
not going to get better than this.
Because that would have been my pick if you didn't pick it. I think it's because beyond the Aaron Rodgers drama, beyond the fact that Russell Wilson's back, this makes sense. Like, Mark, for instance, you stuck a fork in the Seahawks. I don't agree with that. I think Seattle's got a run in them. I think they'll be sparked by the return of Wilson. I think their defense was always going to probably get better, and they had a nice get-right game into their bye, and I expect the Seattle Seahawks to make a run. So that sets up well for this to be a really fun game to watch. I think I'm going to go with Green Bay, but I think this is a field goal game.
I think you're missing
That's
something about right that fork that I stuck in Seattle.
What?
That the tenets of that deal were that I would send a large financial contribution
yes.
to the Seattle-based My Little Pony group,
right?
Which I just kind of want to do that. So I did
right.
something rash.
Well, you are the vice president of that particular group.
I don't belong to the board. I'm not part of the group. I just I that my motive was, you know, not what you think.
They were competitive with Gino, which, I mean, Gino's coming off.
Are we still talking about Gino?
No,
how are we talking about Gino?
My point
right
is
now?
You just played three games where they could have gone 3-0 with their backup quarterback. They have figured
right.
out things on defense. The
yes.
idea that this defense was a total tire fire feels like it's old news now.
They're the seventh best defense on third down. They've allowed 20 points to the Saints and Jaguars. They did this last year a little bit.
And I just get that feeling that Jamal Adams interception, it's coming.
At some point.
It's coming.
We're still talking about Jamal Adams?
All right. Fair enough. The problem with Russell Wilson is, like you're saying, he overplayed his hand. He should have nailed it. It just was a little bit too like obvious from the jump that this is how he was going to play. I don't know how he could have done a better job shielding it, but I don't know. I liked the quote he had. He got the pin taken out of the finger, washed it down, thankfully, took a picture of it, and on Instagram, no more pin, time to win.
The first thing I thought
yes.
when I saw it is
funny.
I want to know what the pin looks like before it's been washed. It's got to be quite a sight.
Gnarly.
You have some stuff going on.
What?
You want to look at that pin?
You want the gore. Yeah.
I want to see what it really
looks like. Graver's saying he knows what they look like.
Well,
why, is Graver a doctor too?
Yeah, here he is.
Graver's on top of the world lately.
I'm not the only person that thinks that, I'm assuming.
Graver, the most dynamic man. And we haven't been really piecing it together till now.
What, he hurt his hand?
Dr. Graver.
Yeah.
What do you know about this?
I broke my wrist in half when I was 13, and my parents are nostalgic people and keep things, and we still have the pins from that. And I could tell you exactly what they look like. They aren't pretty.
No.
They're pretty gross.
Let's get together after the show and just exchange.
Did you? Well, this is before Instagram or maybe in the early stages. Did you have some type of no more pin time to win posting after it came out?
I wish. I should have, but no.
All right. Good. All right. Let's move on to the second pick. I'm annoyed, Greg, but I respect the game. The reason why I thought I was getting it, because I thought you were going to go get Saints at Titans, but you didn't, but I will. Graver, keep the headset on because we've got to touch base with you. Kevin Byard he went out of his way, and he did the athlete thing where he kind of nagged you a little bit, but you put out some film study of his tremendous gameplay of late, and he came back. And what did he write exactly with the quote retweet?
He gave me a, "This is actually pretty accurate. Nice work."
That's about as good as it gets.
That's as good for somebody that you never played the game, for him to say, "This is actually pretty accurate." That's good. Check out Graverman on Twitter at Titans Film Room.
I believe. Nailed it. Thanks. Yes.
See how we're plugged in on you, buddy. So the Titans are 7-2. I'm not even going to mess around here. I'm locking up the Titans this week, Graver, because I just love where they're at. I feel like the Saints are in a vulnerable spot right now, where they need a lot of things to go right behind center. Alvin Kamara is banged up. They're going on the road. This Tennessee team is playing with such purpose and such confidence that I feel like New Orleans is catching them at the wrong time. Where do you come down on this?
I kind of agree. I think it's going to be a tougher game because New Orleans' defense is good and the Titans didn't even try to throw downfield last week because the O-line was banged up. But if you get Taylor Lewan back, you get Nate Davis back on the offensive line, they could be in a good spot. Mm. I really think this Titans D-line needs a nickname because they're just dominating up front. Mm. And the one that I like most that we've seen on Twitter is the Tennessee Tickle Monsters.
That should do it.
Can we make this a thing?
Tennessee, why are they the Tickle Monsters?
Because they just, like, harass you to the point where you, like, want them to get off you and you're pushing them away or I don't know.
Let's workshop it. That's a good start. That's a good starting point.
Do you think that if you were to tweet that at them, that they'd say this is, you know, you're going to get pro Kevin Byard responses to that? It feels a little cuddly.
It does, but, like, Purple People Eaters was a big nickname, that's kind of right.
They're eating people.
That's true.
That's dark.
You can play off Titans. It's also a very big defensive line. I mean, I know every defensive line is big, but they're especially big, just their size and girth.
So,
Jeffrey Simmons.
Girth, yeah. So the Titans had, in week 9, they had 28 points, but those interceptions by Stafford really obviously played a big role. Now, they had 194 total yards. Only 16 first downs, season lows across the board. So what do you see, Mark, with the Titans here? Do you have concerns about them moving the ball in this spot against a good New Orleans defense?
They played a good Rams defense, but yes, because it was an aberration to some degree from what you'd expect from them on that side. I still believe that another week without Derrick Henry will help, you know, Ryan Tannehill and friends sort through some of their issues. But the Saints are third overall in defensive DVOA.
Oh!
Hit it.
What we got?
All right, you guys. This from Ian Rappaport, free agent, wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. is currently finalizing a deal with the Rams.
Oh! Bang. The Rams.
The Los Angeles Rams.
I mean, how high is their salary cap? Like, what you're saying is right, Greg, that it's not going to be big money, and they still find a way to squeeze him in. So he now joins a wide receiver group, has Cooper Kupp, who's had all-world production, Robert Woods, Van Jefferson, DeSean Jackson left, obviously, and now Odell Beckham fits in.
Kind of.
Is he going to get the volume that he needs to stay happy? That would be my obvious question there.
I guess you wouldn't go there unless you believed it, you know, like unless you were okay with that.
It's something else for it. Suddenly puts Matthew Stafford into an interesting place because there's going to be nonstop microscope action on how that plays out. I hope it doesn't change any of the dynamic between Stafford and Cooper Kupp. And this offense was working really well, so it's an X factor. I think it's of the landing spots they mentioned. I think it's a good one for him to be on a team that could be. There'll be a playoff team.
He's definitely not going to be like crazy, crazy productive. Like if he could match what Robert Woods has been doing, which is like on pace for a 1,000-yard season, to me that would be a win that you add that to the mix. Because
I wonder what Robert Woods is thinking. Right,
right now. Robert Woods probably loses a little. Higby loses a little, but there's only so many yards to go around, and I think he's going there to show that, you know, to go win and to get the shine of being from the Rams. Maybe a little bit like the Bucks wide receivers did a good job last year, I think, being selfless and playing for a team and seeing their numbers go down.
Schefter had it first, not Ian. I'm sorry, that was my bad.
That's all right.
My bad.
That's all right. Ian had the report as well. So that's another. They're a fun team, the Rams. Whether you like them or hate them or think that this is a good strategy ultimately or not, They're just like, we're going to collect as many assets as possible, all these guys, and see if it all comes together. That's interesting. All right.
And I bet he's getting paid almost nothing, which is crazy that he – I don't think he – we'll find
out. He's making $4 million for nothing for the
Browns. I mean, they also talked about any decision he made was about not just to be on one team this season for the end of the year, that he wants to have a long-term relationship potentially with the Rams.
I love it, though, because – I don't know. It's just – A, it adds a lot of, like, value, I think, to watching the Rams and everything.
Yes.
And it's just like, go for it. Just, like, make our lives more interesting. I don't care if it blows. Like, if it blows up, it's not going to harm me. Either way, it's
well,
like
that will
good,
be interesting
good copy.
Because you saw the last guy that was a star veteran of the past, DeSean Jackson. He said, I can't take it. I need to have a front-facing role at this offense. And he walked. Odell's already done that once. That's an interesting place for him.
You have replaced DeSean Jackson with Odell Beckham. That's good front office
work. Right, and just think of, like, the mismatches are outrageous in terms of the route running. Like, Odell can still run routes, whether they were the routes Baker was expecting all the time. Like, those are three guys, Kupp, Woods, and Odell, that can get open. Life should be pretty easy.
Well,
if
now
they get a C-plus performance from
their
offensive
line. He'll
be
on his best behavior now. I can see how it's going to work out.
All right.
Well,
what should I be doing? Running around,
Mark
clapping?
Mark did not need another reason to quietly root against the Rams.
I just locked up the Rams, so.
You could change that if you want, if you feel.
He's probably not playing this week.
No, I'm not. Again, you have to be cutthroat with the locks.
All right, let's, Mark, you're up.
Well, I'm going to go Cleveland and New England, the team that Odell left. Greg, I thought you might take this game. I think if you're the Cleveland Browns, what they did last week against the Bengals was about as good a result as you could possibly have cooked up in your imagination, because you got a good version of Baker Mayfield. The deep ball with Donovan Peoples-Jones worked. The secondary, which has been getting healthier, was all over the place. I mean, the first couple drives against Cincinnati, it was like, okay, maybe they're going to give up 600 yards passing in this game. But they had money turnovers left and right, and they dominated a team that everyone was squawking about a couple weeks ago. But I don't view that as a signature win. The New England Patriots in New England, Kevin Stefanski versus Bill Belichick, that would be a signature win. And I am kind of monitoring, obviously, because we have Nick Chubb, who is dealing with corona, and he has vaccinated, so he has a chance to play at this point still. Alex Van Pelt said there was some hope that could still happen if he gets two negative tests. But across the way, Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris are both dealing with concussions and did not practice on Thursday. So that's another banged-up backfield from a team that wants to run the ball a ton.
Right. I want to know if those two guys are healthy, because I love this running back room that the Patriots have, and Stevenson adds a lot of juice. And
he is
not
fun to watch.
They're not going to be the same without him, especially because that's what they want to do so much. And I look at these two teams as just mirrors. I just think the Browns and the Patriots are so similar in so many ways. They both have a pass rush that's been great. Like, Barmore, Judon are getting after it up front right now for the Patriots. The Browns obviously are extremely talented there. They run. They want to stop the run. But the Browns are better at everything. Like, the Browns are better at running. They're better at rushing the passer. They both have coaches who I think are trying to turn it back to 1994 Cleveland, like Bill Belichick used to do. And to me, like, I've been surprised to see the Patriots become such a trendy team. You are not the only person that put them in the Super Bowl on the
NFL. Is that right? Who else?
I know at least Jim Trotter, because he said it on NFL Network, and I've seen everyone's expecting, and they could, but I still think they've got a long way to go. Like, they are playing, they've changed who they are defensively, and it's worked. They've played zone a lot lately. But Mac Jones is coming off two pretty slow games, and I am curious to see if, like, this slump Mac Jones is on is going to continue.
That's what I come down with the Patriots. I think they are a good team, but whether or not they are anything more than a fringe playoff team or a one-and-done playoff team, all now goes back to, does Mac Jones develop and mature at a faster rate than they expect? And I just think the last two games for him have been, you know, well, two games, though, is pretty brutal. Last week, I don't know, sometimes he doesn't have that awareness in the pocket and he just gets creamed.
He's getting pressured a lot, and
he does get pressured,
speeding him up in terms of what he wants to do.
So I think that's the recipe for a Browns win here, that Myles Garrett and Clowney and the rest of that line get after it and really make things miserable and harass Jones into making some mistakes, because I think this is the type of game. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. I think the team that makes the fewest mistakes is going to probably come out top. This feels like a 2017 type game. I would probably Pick the Browns if Chubb was playing, and maybe pick the Patriots if he's out. It should be a fun one.
I took the Browns. I took the Browns, Chubb or not. But I agree with everything that you said in terms of it being the defensive low scoring. The thing with the Patriots is they've been a little sloppier than people, I think, realize, just in terms of penalties and mental errors. They haven't put it together a totally complete game yet.
Yeah, you could say that about Cleveland, too. Sure. I would just say the next thing after what Baker did last week is what's been missing this year beyond the signature win. You're down by 6 points with a minute 30 seconds to go. You're on your 12-yard line. He marches them the entire field and
wins
the game.
Who do you pick?
I pick Cleveland. I mean, even without Chubb, I think they're going to win this game. If they don't, they're a hot mess at 5-5. I don't know about mess, but...
I'll tell you about hot messes. The consistency is the last thing you want to see from the Browns. If they can start... And I got a feeling they're about to get hot, Mark. And about at the end of this month, they're going to be seen as the best team in the AFC. I have a feeling they're about to get hot. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win the Super Bowl, because the thing, and especially with the quarterback, it's kind of like this. So you need it to be like this when January hits. Podcast audience, I'm pointing my hand upward to the sky.
It's striking.
But it feels like we might be headed there for the Browns. I feel like they're in a good spot. Let's see how
That's
it all plays
I'm
out.
That's why I'm locking up the Browns.
Oh, wow. All right, Ricky.
What could go wrong?
Looking to get – ooh.
No, that's exactly
you worried about that?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
No, I think she's doing the reverse jinx thing that she did the other week.
Exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I mean,
psychological
the Patriots,
master.
The Pats have 16 takeaways. They're the fourth most in the NFL. Baker with a shoulder. This defense, I'm not trusting Mac Jones in this offense, but this defense could be an issue.
Sorry,
so the Browns
Mark.
Are going to take it.
I'm sorry, Mark.
Yeah, I've lost
I got
all.
It. My 2017 has to go now to the other side because Ricky just locked your team up.
She's gone down like Black Magic Avenue, and I don't enjoy
all
a
right.
bit of it.
Let's take a break.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Mark, it's next
Well,
to you.
You've got to be strategic and pick your... Are we going to do another breaking news strip in the middle of this? What's happening
Don't
over there?
Don't take it personal.
Okay,
keep
sorry.
On moving
It was
forward.
Odell Beckham signing.
Okay.
That seems
I guess
worthy.
It qualifies.
Yeah, don't you... Okay, I won't do that again then.
No, you no. should because it,
Erica,
it serves...
You did your job as a
it
producer.
It serves the listener.
Yeah.
It's not about
Mark
me.
Mark doesn't like to be interrupted.
Yeah, no, I'm really sorry, Mark.
That's
really,
okay.
I'm really sorry.
I've taken us off track by complaining about that.
Mark never gets interrupted on our show, so he's just not used to it.
That's, it is jarring.
That's what it is.
You jarred me.
But not only did it was a breaking news that interrupted Mark, it was about Odell Beckham, who Mark hates more than Hitler. So you put all these things together. It was a rough one.
There might have been a
Whoa.
Slight exaggeration in that last statement by Dan, but I'm going to go Minnesota at Chargers. 4:05 p.m. if you're on the East Coast. 1:05 p.m. if you're here on the West Coast, minutes from us.
Why are you
I don't know.
Breaking down the time zone?
I love that.
The Vikings, to me, are the most bizarre team in the league, and I've already mentioned that I feel for their fan base. Kirk Cousins is on pace to throw 32 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. No team in the league has allowed fewer sacks on offense or generated more on defense. Like, these are the recipes to a team that should be, if not dominant, it's certainly 5-3 and not 3-5. How are they 3-5? And there is the Dalvin Cook situation. It sounds like he's going to play, but we can get into that. That is a thorny off-the-field scenario for the Vikings.
Dalvin Cook, we haven't talked about this yet on the show, allegedly abused a former girlfriend, causing a concussion during an altercation at his home last year. This was originally reported by the Star Tribune in Minneapolis. This is cited from a lawsuit, and the newspaper reported that the woman filed a lawsuit in Dakota County accusing him of assault, battery, and false imprisonment. Cook's attorney said his client he said that Cook was assaulted by the woman after she broke into his residence, and in a statement on Tuesday night said that she later tried to extort him of millions of dollars. So it's a he said, she said situation, really ugly details.
Ugly pictures.
Ugly, yep, terrible. Upsetting photos connected to this situation. And I think it's something to keep an eye on, how the NFL is going to handle or not handle the situation. And there never seems to be a clear path to how the NFL does this type of stuff. But for the time being, Dalvin Cook, the most important player, and we can talk about Kirk Cousins and we can talk about Justin Jefferson, but ultimately it is Dalvin Cook that's their best, most important player. His availability is certainly in doubt in the long term.
Well, Mike Zimmer was asked if it was a distraction, and he said, not really. So I don't know what kind of answer that was. The reporting on this was so bad, with Schefter, you know, putting out the news, trying to get ahead of the story before it happened from the agent's perspective. It came out of nowhere that he was the victim of – that Cook was the victim of domestic abuse and extortion, and there's pending litigation with no other context involved. And it got me thinking of just what we were talking about with the Deshaun Watson reporting. Like, that it was almost exactly what we were talking about, that it was not presenting context. And he has since apologized for it.
Schefter admitted
that he did a bad job of journalism and didn't try to present both sides, which means he got called out for it, not just publicly, but I'm sure by his bosses. It's troubling, and it's a team that I think it might break at some point. I know they've been really competitive. Every game is close, and it's often against really good teams, and they barely lose. I think this is a week where they might lose by more than 3 points. You know, I look at their defense from a week ago, and they played 98 snaps, and they've lost two of their best players in Peterson and Hunter. 98 snaps is insane.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Now they got to go cross country to LA. Not only did they play 98 snaps, five or six of their starters played all of them. Like Everson Griffin, who like was going to retire at some point, and they brought him back in to come save the day. Like he was playing 88 snaps. I think it's a tough spot. You mentioned the sacks that Cousins, you know, not taking. To me, that's part of the problem. His whole point of existence at this point seems to be to avoid to take a sack, and that killed him in the Ravens game, I thought, where he got rid of the ball too quickly, and they knew when they blitzed him late that he was just going to dump it off and they could rally to the ball. These are all a lot of reasons, you know, the snaps being the number one, why I'm going to lock up the old bolts.
Okay, you're locking up the bolts. Intriguing. Here's the problem. You're trying to instill logic upon a Vikings team that is illogical by its very nature. And that's why, although I like the Chargers, I don't trust the Chargers yet. They haven't been great at home yet at SoFi Stadium.
That'll be a road game.
Will it surprise? There's going to be 30,000 Vikings fans in that building at least. Would it surprise you all if the Minnesota Vikings go there and play great? It wouldn't, because they've shown that's their DNA. They're very unpredictable. But like, when you study their games, you see why their record is what it is. Compared to what their numbers are. Like, Kirk Cousins is having a great statistical season, but they're way too hot and cold on offense. So they'll get the counting numbers in the top of the game, or maybe a late drive, or they'll pick up some yards in overtime. But then when you look at the game, there are just large swaths of a game on offense where they disappear. There's a lot of checking down. There's a lot of throws short of the sticks, more than you would think in recent weeks. And their running game, it's been hot and cold, and now you have Cook and what's going on with him. Their defense, in addition to playing 98 snaps, gave up 500 yards last week. So, it's a coin flip, like which version of the Vikings show up. But since it doesn't make sense for them to play lights out on Sunday on the road, that's why they will. And that's why I think they win the game.
I do think, though, like Dalvin Cook's situation, Alexander Mattison. I mean, Dan, Mark, and Greg could run on this Chargers run defense. They almost invite you to. So, you know, they got away from Dalvin Cook. They got away from Justin Jefferson last week. Like, stick with it. Show us something consistency. Two 14-point leads against the Ravens. How many people are going to do this with the Ravens? Climbing back in, the Colts, the Vikings. Come on.
It's on your radar.
All right. Let's move on. You took the Seahawks. Oh, you monsters. You guys took all the late games that I wanted. So I will go and grab the Bills at the Jets. All right. The Bills. So they have the thing now. They have that thing. I wanted to reach out to Baldy, and I wanted him to give us like a, what is the too high safety shell that is scaring the Bills, supposedly, just like it's messed up the Chiefs. What is this defensive scheme that is causing havoc upon the unstoppable teams of a year ago? And the layman's terms, like description of what the issue is here, is you're taking away the downfield strikes by having more discipline in the back end to look out for guys going downfield. And the way to beat it is with a run game. So how do the Bills get their run game cooking? Because if they could do that with Singletary and or Moss, then you would think everything gets back to normal. But if they go to the Meadowlands, and we know the Jets are another team that's a little Jekyll and Hyde this season, and they have another game where the offense can't get going, God forbid they lose the game, we're going to be really trying to scratch our heads figuring out who's going to win this AFC, who's going to win the AFC East. This is a very important game for the Bills. And you wouldn't think that. You would think they're going to roll over the Jets, and maybe they will. But I don't know. There's a little bit of juice to this game.
It's one of the first times where Sean McDermott, I think, like the timeline of the Bills has been so pristine with everyone's development. He basically said, we thought we'd be farther along with this run game. It's been one part of their offense. Zach Moss has a concussion right now he's dealing with. They just have not been balanced on that front.
And you look at the way the Jets were embarrassed defensively by the Colts and the Patriots. It was almost the exact same. The Colts took the Patriots playbook with all these like kind of wham blocks that like power running teams can do where they invite the defensive line to go upfield. And like, that's Salah's MO. That's, you know, that's where he comes from. It's like these interior, don't even like worry about the gaps, just like get penetration. And they, both of those power sort of offensive lines, you know, were synchronized enough to take advantage of it, run on the outside and just like, you know, make them look bad. They embarrassed them. The Bills don't really have that. They, you know, that's why teams like the Patriots and the Browns, in theory, want to be able to do everything so that you can adjust to the game plan to your opponent. Like, the Bills don't really have that in their arsenal in terms of their running game. I'm not particularly worried about them, but their offensive line last week was the reason they lost. I didn't even think Josh Allen played that bad of a game at quarterback for the Bills, despite all. I mean, he made some bad decisions late.
I think it was graded by PFF as the worst quarterback game of the season.
He went crazy at the very. It was Football Outsiders, and theirs aren't necessarily grades; those are just numbers. But he kind of at the end just started throwing stuff against the wall. But I thought he played pretty well. His offensive line was a joke. I mean,
they were banged up too.
Totally dominated, and they were injured.
Yeah.
On the other side, Mike White will start for the Jets at least one more game, and Saleh left the door open that, you know, he could stay there. They're playing the old, we'll start the boy when he's healthy, but if Mike White plays well in this game, Zach Wilson's not playing. Because the one thing Buffalo still has cooking here is a great defense. They're the number one overall defense pretty much across the board by a number of you know, defensive metrics. So while their offense is still trying to figure things out, the defense has been something you can count on. They, you know, they gave up 3 field goals and lost last week in Jacksonville, gave up 11 the week before against Miami. So they should be okay. But if Mike White lights them up here, that would be a lot of fun. By the way, Mike White spoke today. Play that, Ricky. Love this guy.
Why do you think you were under the radar for so long?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, that's definitely the scouting departments and across the league and what their interpretation of me is. And then I've told you guys countless times, I have 100% confidence in myself. So if you ask me, I should have been a first overall pick.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. First overall pick. Well, he played like it 2 weeks ago. Let's see what he does against Buffalo.
Let's just say in another world, he lit it up for the rest of the season and became like the dude. Like, what? Where does that leave you, Dan, with Zach Wilson and the rest of it?
I don't care about anything. If I have a quarterback that's awesome, you know, let God sort it out.
It would be quite an insane story if Mike White holds this job for the rest of the year. Maybe unprecedented. Someone find me something similar to this in NFL history, where like a number two pick would lose his job midway to this guy who's never played before.
Right.
But he's going to have to keep stacking it. They're going to want to look at Wilson if White struggles. I do think that there's a little bit of awkwardness, though, that like Josh Johnson and White have 8 touchdowns in 2 games and Wilson had 4. Like, Josh Johnson threw the ball great against the Colts, too.
Got demoted.
Right, and he's back to the practice squad. Flacco is now the backup. So there's something strange about it, but it's probably not a bad thing for Wilson to be on
the bench. Wilson, they wanted him to be ready. He wasn't ready.
Right.
He was struggling, and they got bailed out here because they planned poorly by not having a safety net behind the boy. And now Mike White appears out of nowhere. And again, he's played one
maybe
good quarter.
Maybe they thought
one
Mike good game White was a, awesome a all quarter. Along, which is to their credit.
So it would have if Mike White ended up starting the rest of the season, and they either – I don't think they're going to – listen, let's see how Buffalo goes first. But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. If Zach Wilson is their locked and loaded starter next year, and they tried to start him with the season as a starter, didn't work out, they let him learn and get a little bit more maturity, I don't think that's absurd. It's just the process was a little funky, but that's the Jets. All right, up next is Greg.
Oh, yeah. That's what I say when I'm not ready.
Searching for your game.
No, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to take another 4 o'clock game, and that's going to be Panthers-Cardinals. Who knows? Could be Colt McCoy versus P.J. Walker. In another world, it could have been Kyler Murray versus Cam Newton. It's probably going to be Kyler Murray versus P.J. Walker. Matt Rhule has confirmed that P.J. Walker will get this one start. He did start in Week 17 last year. Looked okay. Certainly better than he looked in his mop-up duties 2 times last year. It's asking a lot for P.J. Walker to go up against the number 2 defense in the NFL in terms of DVOA and the way that they've controlled the line of scrimmage and expect him to do much. But Matt Rhule is a guy who's known for his creativity. Like Joe Brady, let's see it. You got a week to get something going with P.J. Walker, who is a short, fast, big-armed quarterback who revived his career with the XFL. He's been on the fringes of the NFL for 5 years. Like, this is an opportunity for him. But, man, it's an uphill battle to have to play the Cardinals in, like, your one start of the year.
On the road.
They are banged up, though. Arizona is – they've got issues all over the place. Like, we'll see. Chase Edmonds is not going to be in there. Rondale Moore's dealing with a concussion and a neck injury. Are we sure Kyler's playing? It seems very questionable.
Very questionable. He says he feels a lot better, but it's another one we might not know till the end of the week. AJ Green is back. Nuke Hopkins, we don't know.
Didn't practice Thursday.
It's so impressive that they played that well last week with that many people missing.
It's not a miracle when Colt McCoy just says, put that on
me. He is a miracle.
I'll handle it.
Like your son, like a little miracle. Mm-hmm.
Double miracles.
All Colts are little miracles, I feel like.
Cynthia Freeland called Little Pony? That's sort of what it means. It is a little pony.
Sometimes when I miss
a small horse.
Colt Sessler, we were just at his birthday party. But when I haven't seen him in a while, he's a beautiful young boy. Oh. You know,
well,
I just drive nearby and I see his poster that preschool has hanging on multiple corners.
Weird.
In my town, it's Colt. Colt Sessler's picture no longer goes to that school.
No.
Didn't ask for permission.
No
but
permission.
He's smiling, and I think he's – I don't have facts on this, but actually I believe enrollment's gone up 400%.
I think they did seek permission when we signed some sort of waiver which said you can do anything with our child's
this
image.
This is technically our boy now. It was in the contract.
Right.
So he's on loan to you at this point.
I always point it out to my kids in the back seat, and they're just like, what? Who?
What?
Who cares,
what are you
Dad?
Talking about?
And I was like, oh, there's Colt Sessler. I'm excited.
All right. Let's move on. Greg, it's snakes to you.
All right.
Oh, wait. I just want to say, I want to see Christian McCaffrey back another week. They're going to – I mean, you want to talk about – he's always been the centerpiece of their offense, but now when you have P.J. Walker as the quarterback, they're probably going to be a little bit predictable on an obscene level in this game.
And with Cam Newton, I think they'll be rather predictable when he shows up.
I don't know.
Well, I think they want to be super run-heavy, and they're going to continue that.
Option and Cam with a – did we never saw Cam and McCaffrey together, did we? Yeah, we did, right? I feel like it's so
we
long.
Did. Yes. Yeah. We did. Absolutely. Yeah, we did. What if P.J. Walker has like a Mike White situation? You know, comes in, plays great.
Cam
and
gets Flacco'd,
like,
and he's just on the sideline. But he's been paid a ton of money to be there.
That'd be great if the Jets cut Flacco and he signed with the Panthers.
Also, Darnold. We didn't even mention Sam Darnold's name in all of this. I guess
he's hurt.
We're assuming his career in Carolina is over. I mean, that's more likely than not, I would say. He's out for 4 to 6 weeks, but at this point, that feels like a
his
buy.
Ceiling
I think
now,
if you want to sell tickets, his career needs to be
I hope
over
he's
in
not
Carolina.
Checking like mentions or Twitter today or anytime this
week. It's sad, and it's just the way his career has worked out. Like everybody, and I'm one of them, that was like, just get him a better situation. He'll be better. And that was the case for 3 weeks, which made it even more funky when it all fell apart. I think his ceiling now, where we stand now in November 2021, is like Colt McCoy's career. Like, hang around as a backup.
He'll keep getting chances because of when he was drafted.
I don't know, dude.
I'm not saying to start.
There's
saying
kind
as
of a
backup.
Level where people are just like,
no, I'm saying as a backup.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no.
He'll be in the NFL for a decade plus, but not a starter.
He's a good dude. He's a hard worker. He does have draft pedigree, so I think he'll get a backup job and probably get pretty good backup money next year, but I don't think he's going into any camp with a chance to start next year.
Could be in a quarterback battle in Pittsburgh.
Blaine Gabbert got a Super Bowl ring and, like, you know, right next to Tom Brady on the float. You know, that could be Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Someday.
Sam Darnold. All right, let's take a break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Back to you, Greg.
I'm torn here. Why am I so torn? I'll take the Falcons, Cowboys. Watch Matt Ryan another week live. The new Matt Ryan playing great.
The new Matt Ryan.
He kind of is, though.
What's new about him? Tell me.
His running ability, his movement. I'm not kidding. He's moving better. There's no question. He shook DeMario Davis out of his shoes two times last week. His running was a factor in that game, not just, you know, rushing yards. He doesn't have a ton of those, although it's been surprising when he does. But his movement in the pocket is awesome. And their offensive line is terrible. And I really do believe he's moving better than he used to. And I think he's fitting well with Arthur Smith. I think Arthur Smith's reputation as a good coach for quarterbacks is bearing out. And they're playing against the Cowboys defense that will be without Randy Gregory. He suffered an injury in practice. That's too bad. I think he was having a Pro Bowl season, so that's a big loss for their defense.
Coming
off of their best or their worst game of the year, the Cowboys defense.
My favorite thing that happened this week was, you know, coming out of that Denver wipeout of Dallas, where we're just every week you're left with like one of these so-called heavies getting destroyed and having to contemplate what it means. But Jerry Jones basically saying that Denver didn't do anything we weren't expecting. We anticipated it. I went over it carefully with Mike McCarthy before the game. What they came out doing, we anticipated completely. We just didn't anticipate them having that kind of success, and they stayed in it. Really?
I mean, Dak said that too. Maybe they were just like in their feelings about getting
something about that does not
ring true to me. I kind of buy it. That Denver just flew around in that game on defense in a way that just you haven't seen this year. And I think it was just like they were way more ready to play. Like
that game was a fluke.
It's a physical game, and sometimes one team is just like ready to knock you out. Tyron Smith being out, I think, really made a difference, though. Dak got a little spooked by the lack of protection there, and we don't know if he'll be back on the left side.
Fluke in the sense that they're not going to get handled by anyone the rest of the year.
I mean, they're not the greatest team ever, but I fully expect them to get healthy in this game.
It was a fluke offensively. I totally agree. It's going to take way more than one game.
This isn't in the lock zone.
No.
This is the game outside the parameters of our game. Like, I feel super confident about Dallas being humbled and saying, all right, we're going to whoop up on the Falcons defense, which is not good. We'll see what happens there. Any other thoughts on this ball game?
Trayvon Diggs, Kyle Pitts might be a fun matchup. Diggs got
very
worked
hot
a little bit over last week. Some penalties.
That has
some
not been
plays.
A fluke, though, outside of his turnover prowess. Like, there's been a couple games
teams
where
keep
he's
throwing
been,
at him. Right. He's so aggressive. The Falcons have such a small margin for error. They kind of need Pitts and Patterson to be big every single game. That's a lot to ask.
All right. I am up next. I will grab the Eagles at Broncos. Now, I say that last week was a fluke. I mean it more from the perspective of the Cowboys. I think just a lot of things worked against them there, and they kind of got stunned. The Broncos, I thought they played so well that they command a little bit more attention. And, Greg, you know, I think you kind of bailed on the team at THAL, but you should have hung in there. Because I think they're a little bit frisky. It's crazy. You know, a 3-0 start will really help you out, because they started 3-0 against bum teams, and then they ran into incredible turbulence, obviously lost 4 in a row. But then when you kind of right the ship and they've won their last two games, all of a sudden, bang, we're half game out of first place in the AFC West. They're right there. Von Miller obviously out the door, but they didn't miss him on Sunday. And I think I'll say this for Teddy, Greg, and he's been a divisive figure on the show. He's not a guy that's going to take you to the promised land and be a superstar offense. But if Fangio continues to coach up this defense and they continue to gain traction, Teddy's the right quarterback to get you enough points to win a bunch of close games. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, the Broncos are playing on Wild Card Weekend? That's not out of the picture for me.
Yeah, he's coming off one of the best games of his career, I thought, against Dallas. He threw the ball beautifully. And playing against this Eagles defense is a dream for accurate quarterbacks. Five different quarterbacks have gone over 80%. And that's like what Teddy does best, is kind of be the point guard distributor. They get Noah Fant back and just throw a bunch of 7-8 yard throws that maybe doesn't get you too excited. But I'm with you. I think it should be easy for them to move the ball. And I just think about how frustrating it must be to be an Eagles defender. They just play so passively.
Well, they're verbalizing it.
Right. Like, and just like, they're not getting any pressure really up front in these games where the quarterbacks get rid of the ball quickly. And you're just Fletcher Cox and Barnett, like, snap after snap, not getting anywhere because teams are just picking you apart. It's got to be tough.
It's the kind of defensive philosophy that always seems to get players grumbling. Where, like, you know, if you're Fletcher Cox, he's just saying, I want to be aggressive. We want to go after
people. It's like the coordinator in their press conference is always like, we're going to be aggressive. But Jonathan Gannon in Philly is like, hey, we're going to, like, lay back and let you go on really long drives and hope we can make a mistake.
I mean, the results suggest that you would try something else potentially.
I totally whiffed on this, by the way. Sirianni, when the fan threw the flowers at him, I forgot about that we even played the quote about, like, he wanted his team to be a pretty little flower. That's what the flower came.
Well, he didn't respond like a pretty.
He didn't
flower.
Like it. I didn't think of that, but somebody
that's
on Twitter
good.
Was like, "Oh, you remember the thing about the flowers? That ridiculous hype speech that he gave his team."
That's wild. You're making me feel bad about giving up on these Broncos. I still made that. They're really injured. Patrick Surtain got hurt. Bowles. They like even last week they took three or four more new injuries. But I think about Wes a lot with these Broncos. He always had a soft spot for Fangio. he kind of believed. Do you guys remember, like, in these Broncos teams the last couple of years, he stuck with the Flacco team originally and thought mm-hmm. that team was going to be good. I thought about him a lot, too, because he thought these Broncos would get there eventually. And he always was the guy defending the Titans, too. You know, he was always, like, kind of on the Titans' corner, and here's the Titans having their great year.
We talked about it on Sunday night, Greg. They have a good running game. They have a nice 1-2 punch there with the rookie and Melvin Gordon, so you have that going on. You got Teddy, who's steady Teddy. I'm all right. Tim Patrick making a ton of plays in that game.
It hasn't been the offense. If the defense actually...
But they're this good, then the Cowboys game was not a fluke, as we described.
I already said to you.
I know, but it can't Jerry be... Judy looks can't frisky. Have it both ways, though.
I can. I say the Cowboys, they'll be fine.
But
I
they think did they that to the Cowboys.
I know they did. So it was a fluke for the Cowboys. They're not in trouble. But I do think the Broncos could actually build on this. This is such a big game, though, because now if you lay an egg at home against the Eagles, you kind of give back all that momentum.
Anything could happen in this game. You could tell me any score combination, either team blowing the other one out, and I would wholeheartedly believe
I would ask if, like, John Elway and people, all these other people, actually want Fangio to save his job and be the coach after the season, if you are also trying to pitch a landing spot to Aaron Rodgers. There's a disconnect
I think John Elway's happy he's still getting a check. He lost his job, essentially.
Yeah.
And he got a promotion while losing your job and get the check. That's
I just
that's
I sense changes
level.
Ahead to some degree. That's the first team they've beaten with a winning record. I'm not ready to, like, completely melt into a puddle of enthusiasm yet over the whole thing.
I know. Listen, there is a disconnect in your football following that any team that's not going to win the Super Bowl isn't worth tracking.
Not accurate.
That's what I'm doing with the Broncos.
I want a T-shirt that just says, like, I will not melt into a puddle of enthusiasm.
Yeah, just, like, you know, let's see it a couple weeks in a row.
That's how the sport works. I understand that. But there are pieces here to go on a run. And that division is not nearly what we thought it was going to be early in the year.
You believe in it more than I do right now. I like it.
Let's see. All right. Let's see. That's the – oh, Mark, you have the last pick of the draft.
I will go because I'm pairing this against the Browns-Patriots game. Detroit at Pittsburgh.
See, that's why I took two late games. You see what
there's
I did
there?
There's
not a whole lot going on there? Here. Yeah, I mean, it's not I like I'm leaving something great on the nice table strategy. Here.
You don't have a – yeah, the choices aren't too hot.
Pittsburgh, though, they have my respect. I mean, they always do, but, like, they're a tough watch. But they've won four in a row. I think they're just simply a team that handles their business. And I'm not trying to go down this road. I don't know what their ultimate fortunes would be because they seem to be – a good but not great teams figuring themselves out. They have the Chargers, Bengals, and Ravens after this Lions game. So we're going to find out real fast what they are. But their offensive line has grown. I think guys that you're adding to the mix, like a Pat Freiermuth, who, you know, Mark Caboli, their, like, longtime beat writer, said that he kind of compared him to Antonio Brown. And I was like, what? And it's because of the trust that Big Ben has shown in him. And you can kind of see that he's willing to throw it to him. And the incredible things seem to happen when they do. And Big Ben sort of said, we're finding our ways to win. I don't know if I trust this team to do a whole lot more, but you're going to handle Detroit without too many problems.
Maybe no Chase Claypool, though, which to me is – or almost certainly no Chase Claypool, and we don't know how much. I think that's a big loss. I think the Lions are kind of this every other week team. They either get a moral victory or the weeks that people actually believe in them, they stink. This feels like a moral victory game. I just am not believing in the Steelers in terms of, like, covering these big spreads, for instance. I didn't against the Bears. That ended up coming down to the wire. They're favored by 9 or 10 here. I hate that.
I'd,
like,
stay away from
that. I feel like the Lions are going to be in this game, and they'll find a way to lose, and the Steelers will find a way to win, and that's just how
right. The Steelers are the Steelers. They're at home. They're 5-3. They're on a winning streak, but there's nothing about the way that offense plays that tells me anything should be taken as a given that this should be a blowout win. They should win, though, because anybody that's played the Lions
could be like a nice TJ Watt defensive player of the year, like rack up three
a showcase
type of game. Yes.
All right, let's go through the rest of the games here. The Jaguars start with the early games. Jaguars 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific.
He sounds so excited. This is Mark's team is in this game.
Jaguars 2-6 at Colts 4-5. Colts have to win football games. They got the Jags in their building right now. Jacksonville, of course, though, Mark, coming off a great inspired defensive effort in which they shut down the Bills' offense, held them to 6 points in a win.
Yeah, I mean, Colts 31 points per game since week four. I could fall for all sorts of things too. And I'm not falling for the Jaguars, but there's a little thing about me after watching what they did to the Bills that makes me think, could they operate as some sort of one of these berserker teams that, you know, a couple weeks from now, you don't really want to deal with them. If Trevor Lawrence gets better and better, but it's the defense. I think the defense was so disruptive against it was a banged-up Bills line that I just want to see this matchup because when you put heat on Carson Wentz, we've seen bad things happen. That said, the Colts are the better coach team. They've got a ground game that's on fire right now. James Robinson is still sidelined for the Jaguars. We're not sure what's going on. And this Jaguars offense was 2 of 13 on third down last week and had 218 yards of offense. So that truly was a 9-6 game where it was something special happening for the other Josh Allen.
Right. I mean, first of all, good job with the berserker. That's a nice part of the Sessler brand. You got to build that.
There are teams
You've had it out there. Like, yeah, every year Sessler's got his berserker team.
Not sure it's this. We'll see.
The Jags' defensive performance came out of nowhere. They've been terrible all year. The Colts have been very reliable in beating down like the lesser teams in the NFL. I mean, they beat down the Jets. They beat down the Texans. Like, they've been good at that, and I expect it to happen because Trevor Lawrence is making fewer big plays since their bye. Do they have a touchdown since their bye? Was 31-6 with a touchdown? I think it was. But either way, they've got 15 points in 2 weeks. So the arrow is not even going up right now for Trevor Lawrence, which it would be nice to see.
Not a berserker, according to you.
No.
In other potential slaughter news, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come off their bye at 6-2 and head to FedEx Field to face the Washington football team. So you have Tom Brady with an extra week to get healthy and prepare. And practice, and now he gets to face the last-ranked pass defense in football, Slaughter.
And they're, like, annoyed, at least Bruce Arians is. Maybe they're just looking for motivation. It's a long season, but he's really annoyed by the fact that people have said that Taylor Heinicke, like, lit up their defense. And he's like, we didn't know Taylor Heinicke was going to start that game. We thought it was going to be Alex Smith. Like, if we had a plan for Heinicke, like, we would have destroyed them. So it's probably in their mind they need to find little ways to get up. And I think coming off of a bye, even without Antonio Brown and maybe – Rob Gronkowski, they have great injury news, which is Sean Murphy Bunting is back.
And SMB.
And Carlton Davis at some point is going to be back. Don't know if it's going to be this week or not, but I love that for them. And I think they're going to solve some things. Chris Godwin and Mike Evans have quietly like been so good this year, especially Godwin. Like you just kind of expect it. They are the reason that offense goes along with Brady. Like it's not the Antonio Brown and the Gronk stuff sprinkled on the side.
Washington has like regressed from the last time these two teams faced each other, and I don't really trust them to do a thing. They haven't scored more than 13 points since October 10th.
Is that everything? I think it is. One last thing in the...
I thought you meant with that game.
Well, yeah. One last thing, Greg, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. It's kind of a somber topic, but ex-NFL star Frank Gore to fight ex-NBA star Deron Williams in boxing match on Jake Paul Tommy Fury undercard.
It's a somber topic. I mean, I'm concerned for his health, certainly, but he's a competitor. I mean, I'll tell you where my money's going on that game if we were allowed to do such things on that match, rather.
I think we are.
No, we're not. Nothing. You can't do anything. You can't bet on anything if you work for the NFL.
Well, I don't even know the rules because that's not something that interests me.
Frank Gore, Frank
Greg
Tanks.
Knows the rules.
I feel like, most of us know that rule that we're not. I don't know what you've been doing, Dan, with your free time. But
obviously not.
We
gambling.
Do have to take like an hour long training session every
Here's
year
the thing.
Online.
You do have to take the training session. You don't have to pay attention to anything. That
yes,
you do.
That is. You could have multiple screens open. It's absolutely fine.
I'm a little worried. It's kind of like I want him to win this. Match and then retire from boxing. It sounds like he's been training for this for years. He was doing it even as a player. You worry about Frank. I guess.
Well, what
he's
if he goes in
then.
And drops a bomb? Like maybe.
Oh, he better
clean it up.
Darren Williams.
Better. What's
Please.
Wrong?
Total disappointment with the Nets. What a terrible contract, Darren Williams. This guy's not tough.
Wasn't How much taller is he than
I don't know.
Frank Gore though?
He a lot taller. Frank Gore, when I did my article on him, he couldn't have been. I know he's listed at 5'9". He could not have been taller than 5'7" or so. And Williams, yeah, is an NBA player.
Do you have the? Do we have our missive music, Ricky? Because I just realized in the story, Frank Gore released a statement.
Oh wow!
I'm excited to be fighting on this card, and can't wait to show the world what I've been working on. Boxing has me excited. And on December 18th, expect fireworks with a slammer. I think he's got to work on his statements a little bit.
Sounds confident.
One of the toughest NFL players of his generation.
Third in NFL history, 16,000 rushing yards.
I guess he's officially retired. Between him and
he was retired.
Larry Fitzgerald, we haven't actually gotten the right. I'm retired moment from either one of them.
Sometimes the NFL retires you, and for Frank, it appears that's what eventually happened, but guy was...
What a run.
Class act. You know what I'd really like? I want Frank Gore to do whatever he wants to be happy, but he feels like a guy would be a great guy on a coaching staff, and maybe that's where he ends up in time, but we shall see.
If it makes him happy.
Maybe he'll be the heavyweight champion of the world. I don't know.
I love Frank Gore so much. You know, you guys are welcome to come over that night because I'm buying some Showtime pay-per-view.
You gonna do it?
Oh, yeah. I gotta watch Frank Gore. Or if someone's got a good stream for me, one or the other.
I don't like what Deron Williams' statement is. Combat sports have been a part of my life since my youngest days. Before I was a basketball player, I was a wrestler. Since 2015, I've had the privilege of owning an MMA gym. And through that, I've trained in various martial arts. Oh, shit, Greg. Various martial arts to stay active. Over the last year, I've been waiting for the right opportunity to translate my training into a professional debut. Oh, Frankie, I'm a little worried about Duran's been all over this thing.
It could be, you know, I as a kid, I remember we went over to some father and son's house with like 80 fathers and sons to watch Tyson Spinks, and the guy was making like microwave popcorn, and the fight was over before the popcorn was done. So I wish for your sake, Greg, that it lasts longer.
Classic Tyson Spinks story.
Nice,
that was
nice.
Good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, you guys were like 4 years old sucking on like lollipops.
I watched that fight as well. It was like 37 seconds.
Darren Williams. I don't know. The inconvenient truth is scared by no basketball player.
Wait, this is on YouTube.
I mean, I don't know if this site is the most accurate way to find out his name. Maybe just YouTube. Any
There's so many
him.
Different.
Darren Williams.
All right, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's.
All right, so we will be back. Okay, we will be back. We will be back on Saturday morning on NFL Network, the Around the NFL broadcast. 2 hours we go through the entire league, two minutes a team. It's a lot of fun. Please check it out. You can get it over on the NFL Game Pass app in the UK. I think you could probably get it here too on Game Pass. I don't know. Or check it out on NFL Network. And then we have our Sunday flagship show where we recap every game we just previewed here. Sunday night, of course. And yes, again, Thursday night, Ravens Dolphins mini pod, Zeuser with a special guest. All right, let's go. This is the old Zeuser. Dan Zeus signing off for the old boss. Quiet Storm, Ricky Hollywood, Grave Digger. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva.
because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.